Well, I want to thank you for coming out and sharing your Christmas Eve with us and being here to talk about the best Christmas ever and maybe the best gift ever. I would imagine if I just asked, what's the best gift you've ever received, that immediately a handful of hands could just go ahead and shoot right up and begin to tell what the best gift ever may have been. Maybe it was that moment at Christmas or another time where you were given a car and it was like a complete surprise and it was like that was absolutely amazing. Or maybe it was a time for some of the ladies where you got that diamond that you always wanted, or the upgrade to that diamond that you had, but then the next one that you were looking for. Maybe it was just an unexpected bonus that you got from the workplace. If you're young and you're in school, maybe it's that moment where you go ahead and you get to Christmas break and you're like, I don't have to go back for a couple of weeks. Or maybe it's that moment where you decide, hey, I've graduated and I don't have to go back to school. That's like a good gift sometimes, depending on the situation that it might be. When I think about the best gift ever from my standpoint, and when I think about the best Christmas ever, my mind automatically goes back to when I was 6 years old. We were living across the street from the church that my dad was the pastor of, and we walked home from a Christmas Eve service that was held late at night, and it was a candlelight service, and as we walked home and we went in, all of these presents were just laid out. I mean, they were all already there. I mean, everybody was ahead of schedule at our house. We must have been really good that year, right? They'd all been delivered. They'd all been set up. And as we walked back in and we came in the front room, I'll never forget seeing this little punching bag that was there. And I was talking with someone earlier today, and he remembers getting the same gift when he was a kid, but he's at least 10 years older than I am, all right? And I mean at least 10 years older than I am, more like 25 or 30 years older than I am, if we're going to be honest. And I remember being able to have this punching bag, and you just stood on a board, and you could just like go ahead and punch that bag all day long, and it would just like pop back at you. So if you went to punch it and missed it, you got hit. I remember that gift. I remember a little skeet shooting game that my dad and I played for seemingly unlimited amount of times in an untold number of years. But do you know, as good as those gifts were at that moment and at that time, those gifts have long since been thrown away. They're not even my trash and another man's treasure. They're just trash. They're just gone. And maybe you could look back at a moment like that in your life as you just kind of go through your mind's eye and you begin to look back over some of those precious memories and some of those great moments. You would say, man, that was the best gift ever. And then maybe you would go ahead and you would look at another year, another season, and you would say, no, maybe this was the best gift ever. Well, the truth of the matter for you and for me is this. No matter what we receive in this life, no matter what's wrapped up under the tree or what somebody else brings us to the party at work or exchanges with us, all of those gifts may be amazing and they may be good, and we may look at them and say, man, I can't believe I finally got this. All of those gifts pale in comparison to the best gift ever. You see, the best gift ever came in the form of a little baby. It was placed in a manger. And you know, one of the incredible things about the best gift ever is people had been expecting it for more than 700 years. They had been looking for the one who was promised to be born. They didn't understand everything about it. They didn't know how it was going to unfold, but they had been looking for it. They had been wanting it. It came at a time when there was a census, and Joseph and Mary were traveling to be taxed, and they ended up in this little tiny town called Bethlehem, and everybody was there. The city was crowded. There was no room for them anywhere, so they end up back in a stable and with people expecting Jesus to be born, but in this stable, not a chance did they ever expect that circumstance, and the timing was completely awful. But into that low expectation level, the bad circumstances, and what looked to be terrible timing, Jesus was born. And what sets it apart is this. In the best gift ever, we would think that the best gift ever would be offered to the most important people ever, right? It just kind of makes sense. But do you know who the first people on the scene were with the best gift ever? You see, you and I would go ahead and offer the best gift ever to the people that matter the most around us, or maybe the people that we think are most influential, or maybe we would give that best gift to somebody that we thought might be able to do something for us in return. But here's what God did. God, on that first Christmas night, here's what he did. He offered the best gift ever. Are you ready for this? To a group of stinky, smelly, sweaty, unclean, dirty group of people called shepherds. Shepherds weren't allowed in the temple to worship God. Yet that's the first group, the first individuals that he invited to come and take a look at the best gift ever. It's kind of amazing to think that he didn't go down to the temple and notify the priest. He didn't go through and look at the attendance pad and say, wow, this person was at worship last week and they've already been there this week and they've got great things going on in their life, so I just want to go ahead and invite them. No, God went out and he looked and he found people that were unaccepted, people that were unwelcome, people that knew what it was like to struggle in life and to be rejected. And he said, look, here's a gift and I want you to come up close and I want you to see him, and better yet, I want you to unwrap him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm really excited about unwrapping some presents tomorrow, right? I mean, I'm like the rest of you. I've got some that I've eyed under our tree for a little while, and I'm kind of like wondering what it is, right? Every once in a while, I go ahead and I just look through my bank account, and I can go ahead and see what's been debited and kind of know what I got, right? When you're the dad in the family, sometimes you buy your own gifts. It's kind of a neat thing. When you look and think about unwrapping some of those presents and how nicely packaged they are and all the things that we expect to be there, the Bible teaches us that no matter what we can unwrap that's perfectly gift-wrapped, there was this one, this gift that's set apart, and it's truly the best gift ever, and his name is Jesus. And a story is told in Luke chapter 2, how the best gift ever came into this world, and the first people ever to get to unwrap the gift were shepherds. So let's just take a look at the best gift ever and see what Luke chapter 2 has to say. It says, now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They're just doing the routine things of life, right? I mean, life is just normal for them at this moment. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the Bible says, and they were greatly afraid. You ever been in a situation where you're kind of afraid? You didn't know what to do. Anxiety kind of increased a little bit. Uncertainty going up in your life. Here's what happens when we read a little further. It says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Here's an incredible story about Jesus coming into this world, and the first people on the scene are common, ordinary people, and they get to come up and take a look at Jesus. They get to come up and take a look at this one who the Bible says in John chapter 1 came into this world to be the light of the world. Why? Because it was a dark time. It was a dark culture. It was a dark place because of this one three-letter word called sin. Do you know what sin does? Sin brings darkness and destruction. It brings it into your life and it brings it into my life. And that's the reason Jesus came. Jesus came so that he could be a light, so that we could see our need and we could see his perfection. Jesus came so that we could go ahead and see our condition, our need of him, so that we could look at him and see that he was absolutely perfect and that he could offer us hope and that he did have a way and that we could go ahead and see our need for him. So you know what happens? The shepherds run. They just look at each other and they say, man, we've been invited to the best gift ever. Let's go ahead and get there in a hurry. And the Bible says when they got there, they came and they looked close and they spent time with him and they talked to Mary and Joseph and they didn't understand everything, but they spent time with him. And as they spent time with him, when they left, they were different and they wanted to tell everybody they came across about this one who had invited them and about this one who had accepted him. They wanted to tell everybody about the light of the world. Well, you know what? You and I have been invited to come up close and take a good look at the light of the world, Jesus, who came into this world so that we could see his perfection, so that we could see our condition, and so that we could go ahead and not live in darkness and not be surrounded by destruction, but to know that we have something worth living for, and we have one who is the absolute difference maker in our life. Well, here's what happened when the shepherds came and they began to unwrap the gift that we know as Jesus. And here's what will happen when you begin to unwrap this gift that is like no other. You see, when you begin to unwrap the gift of Jesus, you're unwrapping the gift of salvation. Think about this for just a moment. We're in a dark place, in a dark time. So many people are filled with hopelessness. So many people are filled with questions that are unanswered. There are uncertainties in their life, and they're saying, man, if I could just go ahead and get a little bit of hope, if I could just get a little bit of light to show me the way, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us the light of salvation. I love Luke chapter 2 and verse number 12, because the angel, the messenger of the Lord, tells the shepherds this. It tells the shepherds, look, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That word Savior means deliverer. They needed somebody to deliver them from the darkness they were in. And do you know what? You and I need somebody tonight to deliver us from the darkness that we're in. But then there's the word, the Christ. The word for Christ is Messiah, and it literally means the anointed one. This is the one that they were expecting. The one that they had been looking for, but wait, it's circumstances that aren't right, and it's timing that just doesn't fit. But regardless, do you know what they were able to do? They were able to come and look at this deliverer who had came to go ahead and be a light so that they could see their need and they could see his perfection. And they were able to come and see a Savior, and they were able to see the Messiah, the Christ. But then it says the Lord. And that word for Lord is just Yahweh, or it's God. The shepherds were invited to come up close and to see the light of God, to see the presence of God. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. You want something that's worth unwrapping? It's Jesus. We can unwrap the light of salvation. We can unwrap the gift of salvation. He's a Savior. He's the Christ. He's God that came to be with us so that we could be with him. And we need him, just like the shepherds needed him. We need him because we're not perfect and because we have sin. They needed him because they weren't perfect and they had sin. And Jesus was not a way. Jesus was the way. He came into this world so that we could see his light. It was a dark time. Maybe it's a dark time in your life. And maybe you're looking for something that would make the difference. Can I tell you, the one that's the difference maker for you is Jesus Christ. You want to unwrap something that will last and last and last. It's the gift of Jesus. You remember earlier, just a moment ago, I told you about that punching bag. I told you about the skeet game. Do you know what? Those gifts are trash. As fun as they were, they're done and over. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into this world to be a Savior. And do you know what he's still doing? He's still saving people today. And he saves them and he keeps them. And he's the eternal Savior. He's not going anywhere. You want something that will last? It's Jesus. Unwrap that gift. You see, when you unwrap Jesus, you unwrap the gift of salvation. But when you unwrap Jesus, you unwrap the gift of a promise. Along in Luke chapter 2, not only were they told a Savior, which was Christ the Lord, was born, but they were told where they could find him. Now get this, shepherds weren't welcome at the temple. They weren't invited to come and worship, yet they were told where they could find the promised one. It's kind of amazing that God made a promise. Isaiah records it. Micah goes ahead and records it. 700 years before Jesus came into this world, there was a promise that was given. And we can trace the promise back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. God said, I'm going to send a Savior at some point in time. Isaiah would comment on it. Micah would go ahead and tell us where we might be able to expect him to show up. Although looking back, it's easier to understand where he would show up. The promise was made. And when they heard that the Messiah was born, Jesus said through the messenger, this is where you can find him. And they were able to go. And they were able to find the promised one. God promised to send the Messiah, and he did send the Messiah. And when he sent the Messiah, he appeared and he told the shepherds where they could find the Messiah. It's kind of amazing how he promised to go ahead and do it. And then when he did it, he said, this is exactly how you can find him. People that weren't used to being welcome in a place of worship now knew where to find the promised one. And they were some of the first ones to find out about it. But you know, here's what happens when you unwrap Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, when you unwrap the gift of Jesus, when you begin to take a good look at the light of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's all about, the Bible says the moment that we trust him, he is always with us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's there. You see, sometimes we feel like Christmas is a difficult time because everybody's not in their place and everything's not just like we need it to be. And I understand those are emotional moments. I get that. But it's comforting in the midst of those to know that there is one who will never leave us and one who will never forsake us, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I came into this world so that I might be your Savior, and here's a promise, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. You see, when you unwrap the gift of Jesus, you're unwrapping a Savior who loves you, who's got an incredible plan for your life, who's got a promise for you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But then when we go ahead and take a step further and we begin to look at those shepherds, because the shepherd said, let us go. Let us find this child. What happens? They go. They see Mary and Joseph and they see the babe lying in a manger. It's just like the messenger said it would be. They find Jesus and everything is right there. Just as perfect as you can imagine. But in the midst of that, in the midst of searching for that Savior and that promise, you know what they're told? They're told that they could go ahead and find peace. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've been afraid. There's been times in my life where I've been a little anxious. There's been times in my life where I've been pretty uncertain that I didn't know what was going to happen next. I didn't know how things were going to unfold. That's where the shepherds were. Do you know that the angel told Mary, don't be afraid. I know you don't understand everything, but don't be afraid. The angel told Joseph, I know you don't understand everything, and I know you're trying to wrap your mind around it, and it doesn't make sense, but don't be afraid. The angel told the shepherds, don't be afraid. Sometimes life throws some pretty scary things at us. Sometimes life keeps us torn up on the inside with some turmoil. But do you know Jesus came to be the light of the world so that we could have peace? Because here's what happens. When we're in a dark time, life begins to be a little bit more uncertain. But when the light of Jesus comes into our life and we begin to unwrap that light and we begin to learn more about who he is, do you know what we can do? We can trade our uncertainty for peace. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7 that he alone can give us a peace that passes all understanding. And do you know what happened? When the shepherds left and they went to see Jesus. They were casting their fears aside and they were getting up close to him. And the Bible tells us this, that when they got there and when they saw him, they were like new people. They had traded in those fears for faith. They had traded in that fear for peace, and they left telling other people about Jesus, which brings us to this whole thought and idea tonight, that when we unwrap salvation, we're unwrapping the promise of God, who said he would save us and who said he would keep us and he would never forsake us. We're unwrapping not only that promise, but we're unwrapping peace, one that can be the answer in our most difficult moments, one that can calm the storms and ease the anxieties of our life, one that can remove the uncertainties, but we're also unwrapping a greater purpose for our life. You see, we're unwrapping the gift of purpose. Those shepherds were common, ordinary people that would tend sheep. Sometimes we go through life and we feel like we're just doing the mundane, ordinary thing. Sometimes we go through life and we think, is this all there is? The shepherds were ones that may have felt like they didn't have much of a purpose. But the shepherds were invited to come to Jesus. And when they were invited to come to Jesus, it changed everything. Because here's what happened. As they came to Jesus and they unwrapped salvation, as they came to Jesus and they began to unwrap that promise and they could look at the promise up close and personal, as they began to have that peace and they traded in all their fears and their uncertainties, the Bible says this. It says, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You see, the shepherds unwrapped a greater purpose in their life. The shepherds traded in that moment of just living for tending sheep. And they said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and make our life about sharing the light of Jesus and who he is. You see, they now had a purpose of relationship, who Jesus was and what he was about. They now had a purpose of worship, which is just living your life for something greater and something beyond where you're at. And they now had the purpose of sharing. They left and they told others about him. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if you know Jesus, that you're the light of the world. And the light of the world is not meant to be hidden, but the light of the world is meant to be shared. The shepherds left and they would share the light of the world. Well, the reality is this. Just as the shepherds would leave and they would go and share the light of Jesus, if you're a Christ follower tonight, you have the responsibility to be a light as Jesus was a light. Because Jesus came into this world to be the light so that you and I could see that light and come to the light and unwrap the gift of salvation and unwrap the gift of his promise and unwrap the gift of his peace and unwrap that gift of a greater purpose, living for something more than just ourselves. Tonight, if you know Jesus, then we're to carry on that light. And what better time of year to make a decision and a commitment to go ahead and to be that light, to share that light, to make that light known. Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, John, you've talked about Jesus and I'm not certain that I know him. I'm not certain that I've ever unwrapped that gift. I'm not certain that I've invited him to forgive me of my sins and invited him to be my Savior. If that's you tonight, you can go ahead and do that right where you are. Maybe you're here tonight and you would be searching for peace. Maybe you're here tonight and you're searching for that promise. Maybe you feel like you're kind of on your own right now and life is just not that certain. I want you to know that when you unwrap the gift of salvation, you have the promise of God, you have the peace of God, and you have the purpose of God, just as those shepherds did on that night long ago. And tonight, I would encourage you to make that yours. So would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have a time to respond. And this evening, we're going to do our response just a little bit different. Right where you are right now, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, but you would like to, I just want you to pray a little prayer that you can go ahead and pray from your heart right to the heart of God. Maybe tonight that prayer for you would just go something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I've sinned and that I need your forgiveness. And Jesus, the best that I know how, I'm asking you to be my Savior. I believe that you came into this world, that you died for me, and that you rose again. And I'm just asking you to be my Savior. If that's you, tonight, if you just do that by faith, he'll go ahead and do that. Maybe you're here tonight, and you would say, John, I know Jesus is my Savior. But honestly, I'm in a time right now where I need to pray about his promise, and I just need to know that he's near. Maybe you would say tonight, you know that he's near, but you need a little bit more peace in your life. You've got some things that are just weighing heavy on you. You need some help, and you need that peace that passes all understanding. You need freedom from the turmoils and that struggle. Maybe tonight you would say, John, I want to live for that greater purpose, and I want to be one who shares the light with others. And tonight, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, and I want you to go ahead and just look up now. Tonight, we're going to have a candle lighting time. There's candles on that side over there, and AJ's going to be there, and Dwight is going to be here, and they're going to give you a candle. And you can go ahead and just come and light that candle. And maybe tonight you want to go ahead and just have that moment where you pray that prayer from your heart about Jesus being your Savior. The candle won't go ahead and save you, but this is just a moment to help you remember. You just invite him to forgive you of your sins, and you invite him to be your Savior. We'd love the opportunity to talk with you about it. And maybe tonight you would say, you know what, John, I know Jesus is my Savior, but I need to go ahead and hold on to that promise. I need to go ahead and hold on to the peace because I need some. Maybe tonight I need to go ahead and hold on to that greater purpose to be the light of the world because that's what he's called us to be. Maybe that's you. Maybe tonight you've got another prayer request, something that you just want to come and talk to God about. Here's what we want you to do. We just want you to go ahead and come down this aisle to get one of those candles, to go back to your seat. While we're doing this, you can go ahead and pray. Dave's going to sing a song that's a powerful song, one that tells us about who Jesus is and what he came to do and what God was up to in the life of Mary at that point in time. I would just encourage you to go ahead and step out and come. Make that candle lighting a time for you to have a time of prayer, time for you to go ahead and begin to let God work in your life.